Now, just for a few moments, I want to speak to the younger members of our congregation and those who are here this morning. I'm just going to read a verse or two from 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 27, words that are a great encouragement to my own heart. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things that are wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the Mr. Men, Mr. Greedy, Mr. Worry, Mr. Forgetful. And there's another one with me here this morning. Anybody know who this is? Mr. Anyone? Not happy? No. We'll come to him some other day, maybe. Anyone? Mr. Small. Very good. Mr. Small. Okay. Mr. Small was just, as his name suggests, very small. He was so small, in fact, that a big meal for Mr. Small was half a pea and one crumb. That's how small he was. That was enough to fill his wee tummy. And maybe this morning you're here and you're a young person and you think, well, I'm so small. Maybe you're going into high school and you're smaller than everybody else in your class and you're worried about that. Maybe you're the smallest one in your family. You're small perhaps physically. Or maybe you're worried because you think, well, I'm small intellectually. I don't have the biggest brain in the world. And there are people in my class that are a lot smarter than me, and maybe I just don't get the grades that they do, and I'm small physically, or small perhaps intellectually. Or maybe you think, as you look at sports, and people that are gifted and talented, and you think, well, I'm small there as well, and I don't do as well at running or football or hockey as the other boys and girls do. Maybe I don't have all that many friends, and I'm not one of the big hitters in school, and I'm just small, and nobody really notices me, and nobody maybe thinks that much about me, and the world just looks past somebody like me, and you think, I'm Mr. Small, or Mrs. Small, or Miss Small, and God couldn't really use somebody like me. Maybe even in a spiritual sense, you think that you're small, and maybe you look at somebody that can sing, or somebody that's on the mission field, or somebody that does something that you think's really special for God, and you think, well, I'm so small, I could never do that, I could never stand up and give a testimony, I could never sing, or I could never teach a Sunday school, or I could never lead a meeting, and you look at yourself and you think, I'm so small. But you know, boys and girls, and older people as well, God uses people who are small. Not just people that are small physically, but people maybe that are small financially, or mentally, or emotionally, or intellectually, or socially, or even spiritually, view themselves as not being a giant in any of these areas. And I was thinking about this earlier, about some of the small people that God used in the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read about the great Syrian army general Naaman. Naaman had a terrible problem. The Bible says he was a leper. And he tried to cover it up with his armor and with his uniform and tried to hide it from everybody. But the Bible says that in Naaman's household, as Naaman was out doing his work, that there was a little maid. A little maid. And she came from Israel and she knew the God of heaven. And whenever she got Naaman's wife one day on her own, that little maid began to witness to Naaman's wife and told her about the God of heaven, about the prophet Elisha, and it all led to Naaman's being healed and delivered and trusting in the God of heaven. And it was all because of somebody who was very small, a little maid. And then there was a time whenever Jesus Christ was preaching on a great hillside, and there was a large number of people, 5,000 men, not to mention the woman and the children, and they were all hungry, and the Lord wanted to feed them. And then one of the disciples came along and spoke into the Lord's ear and said, Lord, there's a lad here. Just a wee boy, small lad, Mr. Small. And he had two small fish and five little barley loaves. But what are they among so many? This boy is so small, and what he has to give is so small, it could never do or count for anything. But the Lord didn't pay much heed to that disciple. He took the Lord's lunch, or the lad's lunch, and he lifted it, and he broke it, and he gave thanks for it, and with it he fed a multitude. And then, of course, there was a time whenever the Israelites were fighting against the Philistines. There was a huge, big giant called Goliath, well over 9.5 feet tall, one of the biggest men, perhaps, that ever lived. And everybody was running scared until a young boy, a little lad called David, who wasn't fully grown, probably just a young teenager, small, too small to be in the army, came out and said, "Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And he volunteered to fight Goliath. And he was so small that whenever Saul took his armor and tried to put it on David, it was far, far too big for him. And then you could think perhaps of the Apostle Paul. He was probably a very small man because the Bible says his bodily presence was weak. He was small. And maybe his body was doubled over with all of the beatings and stonings that he subjected himself to. But they all used mightily of God. And maybe you think, well, I'm just young and I'm just small. There's no point me giving my life to God now. I'll wait until I'm bigger. I'll wait till I'm older. Does not the Bible speak about Zacchaeus, who was of little stature? He was so small that he couldn't see over the crowd, but there was something in his heart that he wanted to see the Savior. And so he climbed up a tree, and the Lord called that small young man unto himself, and he became a trophy of grace. There's a lovely old chorus, and it says, "Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name." And the reality is that we're all, if we could only see ourselves, we're all very small in this world. And yet if we give our lives to God, one small life, one poor life, small the offering at best. D.L. Moody said, "Give your life to God. He can do more with it than you can." So if you're small, Paul says here that God chooses the weak things, the base things, the foolish things, or we might say the small things, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Remember the lessons, hopefully, of Mr. Small.